We're in the fourth week of our series on Follow. And the title says it all, what the message is about. And wherever you are with God today, maybe this be the first time you're meeting Him. Maybe you've been walking with God for a long time. This is for everybody, right where you're at. And we all need to follow Him. We define the word follow is to go after something or someone that is ahead of you. That makes sense, doesn't it? Someone out in front of us, we're following them. To travel behind, act according to someone's instructions, conforming to something, paying close attention, keeping track of. And so it's not like, well, they're just out there and we're kind of doing our own thing. No, we're focused on them, paying attention to what they're doing, following their actions, being aware of. It means to practice something, undertake a course of action. And we said this, that it's something you must decide to do. I can't make anybody follow Jesus. I mean, I've tried that. You know, I can't make my kids. I can't make Susie. I can't, you know, it's tough enough for me to follow. But to try to make someone else follow. And they can kind of go through the motions. But they have to decide if they're going to follow. And we're not really the judge. It's really between each of us and God whether we're following closely to Him. And as we're starting off 2016, 2015 was a huge year ministry-wise, and we're just continuing on into 2016, but we want everybody together. We want everybody on the same page. And God's got an amazing things for each one of us, and He wants us to be fruitful in ministry. And so this is a great way to start off our year. So we'll just kind of see. I don't think this will be the last message. We'll probably continue on, but we'll just follow the Holy Spirit on what He will have us to do. So turn your Bibles over to Psalms 37. I read one of my many favorite passages that I have, but certainly this is one of those verses that I think about a lot and confess and speak over a lot. Think about it just about daily in my life. Psalm 37, verse 23. The whole psalm was great, but let's read a couple of verses. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." Now, the New King James says He directs the steps of the righteous. And when you're born again and when you're saved, you've been made righteous. So this is talking about you. So you may not feel like you're godly, but in Christ you are. So the Lord directs the steps. Everybody say steps. Steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I love that. Every detail of their lives. Though they stumble. Anybody here ever stumbled? Not you, right? Yeah, we've all stumbled. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. The Message version says, He holds them up by the grip of His hand. I like that. I mean, that's just a loving father, a caring father there to hold our hand. So the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. And so we need to know that He's taking us somewhere. Turn to your neighbor and point at them and look at them real intently and say, God's taking you somewhere. And you don't need to say this to anybody, but you need to know it. It's somewhere good. It's a good place. But notice that He says steps. Don't you wish it was leaps, bounds, you know? But it says steps, and that's a good word for us to know, especially if, you know, we talk about vision. I did a message on Wednesday a few weeks back on vision. And this is our vision for the church. God gives us a bigger picture for our lives, but we just don't go from here to there. There's a process. There's steps. And that can be very frustrating, the process. Sometimes we don't like to go through the process. We don't like the journey. We want to just kind of want to jump ahead. You know, we're living in the fast food. You know, we want everything now. But in God's system, it doesn't work that way. And He gives us a big picture of what's in the future. But then he wants us to follow him to each step along the way. We had a big year in the church last year, and there was a lot of things that we followed him on, step by step by step. And we want to do the same thing in 2016. But just so you know, the process can be frustrating. So I want to give you some encouragement. All we need to know is the next step. That's not complicated, right? The enemy will try to make it complicated, but it's really not. So I laid the foundation of to follow Jesus the first week in this series. Pastor Nate shared on how to follow, talking about following God through the Word. Excellent message. And if you weren't here for that, I encourage you to listen to the podcast. And then Pastor Susie, my wife, my wonderful wife, shared last week about taking the higher road, not following on the lower road, taking the higher road. And again, just excellent message. Y'all are fed pretty good around here. You know that? I hope you're not getting fat and sassy. Hope you're exercising with all that you're receiving. But I want to continue on the how to follow today. We need to know that we're not alone in this journey. We're not alone. And then not only are we not alone, but then we have help. And God is not setting us up for failure. He didn't create us just to live and get beat up by the devil here on the earth and to fail. He's created us for success. Now, we're not promising you a rose garden here. You know, sometimes we can have that mentality about Christianity is this perfect life. No, it's not a perfect life because we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people. Only perfect one is Jesus. But he can help us live the abundant life, not a perfect life, but the abundant life in the midst of craziness. And to be able to live with peace and to be able to overcome. He said we'll have tribulations. We're going to have problems. And if we don't personally have problems right now, people we know do. So there's things that we're working out. But he's not setting us up for failure. He is setting us up for success. So let's look at Romans chapter 8. Pastor Nate shared a little bit on Wednesday about Romans 8. Boy, another great message. Let's just keep it going, man. But he talked about Romans 8. That's a great chapter to read. If you're looking for something to read this week, turn to Romans 8. Read the whole thing. But I want to read just one verse. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I don't want to leave anybody out. Why don't we just add to that? I'm adding to the Bible. Sons and daughters. These are the sons and daughters of God. And so here we have that word led. Again, this is about following. Led by the Spirit of God. This word led, do a little study on this. And obviously there's a definition in the dictionary. You can read that. But you can do a little word study in the Greek. This word means to gently lead someone by the hand. Don't you love that? I mean, it's a difference in pushing someone. It's a difference in barking orders at someone, yelling at somebody. But it's another thing to gently lead someone by the hand. And that's what he's talking here about, being led by the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? In the previous verse in Psalm, talked about he was there with his hand. Well, it's the same thing here. He wants to give us a helping hand. Now, I went on a ministry trip to Alabama several weeks ago. And the car I was driving had a navigation system. We've got some big GPS people here. I resisted for so long. Do all you know what maps are? Do you remember what maps are? We used to use maps. You know, paper. I've got a nice collection in my museum of maps from all these different maps I have. But anyway, so the car I was driving had a navigation system. And you can put on there the fastest route to go, you know, whatever kind of route you want to take, maybe the scenic route or whatever. And so you can punch in your destination and the navigation system will tell you the steps to get there. And this particular one will put like exits on there, what exits are coming up. And so you know each part, mile marker along the way on your journey. And if you're like me, you are disobedient sometimes. Do your own thing. Think you know better. And then it says, you need to go a half mile down the road and make a U-turn. Just make sure when you do that, that there's a place to do that at, because anyway. And so it's directing me on a course of action. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there. Is we've got a navigation, a spiritual navigation system. And if that's not enough, one time we were going out to Oral Roberts University to visit our daughter. I don't know if you'd to visit her or take her out there. I don't know. But we were going to Tuscaloosa. Remember that big tornado years ago? Devastating tornado that came through there? Well, we were right in the middle of that thing, driving along. And we had to listen to the radio to know. We couldn't follow the navigation system. We had to listen to the radio and where to go. And I'm telling you, we were just like maneuvering around this tornado. And we'd come in areas where it was hit, areas where there was high winds, but we were able to safely go through that area. And it's amazing. We came back on the trip back, it just flattened areas. But it was guidance. It was help in the storm of what way to go and what to do. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He's got a destination for us. And there's steps that we're to take. But He wants to help us navigate. He wants to help guide us. Even when we miss it, He helps us get back on track. He wants to help us avoid the tornadoes and the storms of life. The traps of the enemy. The setups of the enemy. And so He's a helper. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. And there's some people, they call themselves Christians, that do not believe in the Trinity. I don't have time to go show it to you in the Word, but God is three parts. He's three persons in one. And it's hard to grasp and understand. You got to kind of receive it by faith. But it's Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And now they're all God. But they have different parts. And I'm kind of simplifying in here. But here's a way that helps me kind of look at their roles in our life. God gives us the plan. He laid out the plan before the foundation of the earth. Jesus came to show us how to live the plan. He set the example. And then the Holy Spirit helps, shows us, leads us, and guides us to live the plan. So that's kind of give you some understanding. They're all God, they're all truth, but they have different roles in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is sent to be a guide to help us live this Christian walk successfully. And so the Holy Spirit, again, is a person, helps us live the plan. Let's look at John 14:26. Just to talk about Him just for a minute. I know the whole sermon's not about that, but just for a minute to share with you who He is. We need to know who this guide is. John 14:26, Amplified, says this, But the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, in My place, to represent Me and act on My behalf, He will teach you all things, and He will cause you to recall, will remind you, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John, it's to your advantage and it's to your profit that I go away. Now that's just amazing. Why wouldn't it be better for all of us to have Jesus in the flesh? Well, Jesus can only be when he was here in his earthly ministry in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit, it's a brilliant plan, can now come and live and be in all the believers. I don't know how he does it. Everywhere at the same time. Brilliant plan. And so the Holy Spirit, this navigator, this guide, this counselor, all these different things, comforter, wants to come and live and be in you. God Himself, He is so amazing, so loving, so caring. He wants to be in you. How closer can you get than that? Now, the Holy Spirit, anybody that says Jesus is Lord cannot say Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. But there's something, and we'll talk more about it as we go along in the service, but in Acts chapter 1, it talks about, and this is not my words, this is the Bible words, talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you baptize a person, you know, we've done that here, what do? You immerse them, and I do the dunk. I don't do the sprinkle. I mean, I dunk them, and depending on the person, I hold them under a while. It was so funny. I was baptizing my son-in-law, Josh, and we go through this training on what you need to do when you baptize him, and Josh did the training so well, he just went down, and just before I knew it, his head, only time it ever happened, hit the step. And he thought I was kind of make a point about something, but I just told him it was the power of God. So, but when you're baptized, you're immersed. And so he's talking, and so there's a separate thing from salvation where it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's something you need to receive, just like salvation. You need to receive it, and it says then He'll fill you up and come up on you. And in Acts 1, it says the main purpose is to be a witness. But there's a whole lot of benefits, and I don't have time. I mean, I'll share a little bit here, but there's a whole lot of benefits. And so I want to encourage you, we'll give you opportunity at the end of the service to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's just praying and receiving. That's all we're talking about. But I want to encourage you, everybody, to respond to that. And so that's what we're talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, God, comes and lives in you to be your guide. He wants to take you somewhere. He wants to help you. He's leading you somewhere. And it says that if we will follow, it says then we'll be the sons and the daughters of God, meaning we'll know who we are in Christ. We'll know our authority. We'll know what we have in Him. We'll know our inheritance. And He'll help us live the abundant life here on the earth. I don't want to just have the abundant life when I die and go to heaven. I want to have it here. I want to have it here on the earth. But the amazing thing is, so He wants to speak to us. Turn over to John 16. You right there, John 16. Great chapters to read if you want to read more about the Holy Spirit. And I like to read in different translations, but read this in the Amplified. Maybe read it in the Message. But read John 13 through John 17. Just, you know, if you've got some time this week, really good stuff in there and a lot about the Holy Spirit in there. But John 16, verse 13, Amplified says this. But when He, the Spirit of truth, don't you like that? The Spirit of truth. The truth-giving Spirit, oh, I like that too. Truth-giving Spirit gives us truth. He will guide you into all the truth. The whole, full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell you whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you. So get this, the Holy Spirit is in you, speaking to you, declaring things, giving you the truth, leading you into the truth, guiding you into the truth. And He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. That will happen in the future. So He's going to show you the future. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that's awesome. awesome. Isn't that, I mean, you gotta get, that's awesome. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Now, I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. This is the Word of God. This is John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, talking to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Now, in the New King James, it says He will show you things to come. This word show means, it means a guide who shows a traveler the safest route through an unknown country. That's good. It's like, again, the navigation system. The safest route, a traveler. The safest route through an unknown country. So I just want to give you some pointers here about how to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. I mean, of course, you know, so what we're wanting as a follower of Christ, we're wanting you to be a follower of the Word and do what the Word says, but then also to be open to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit will never speak contrary to the Word. That's why it's important that you be taught the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's not going to do anything contrary to God's plan, not anything contrary to the Holy Spirit. And so they work together. It's Word and Spirit working together. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force Himself upon you. The devil, now he forces his way in. He takes, he kills, he destroys. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. So we need to train ourselves to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, just in a relationship, like in any kind of relationship, if you're married or in a friendship, you decide and determine how connected you want to be. But how many know we're human and we can be fickle? How many know we can have emotions? We can do things to drive people away. I mean, we're all human. We make mistakes. We do and say things. But the Holy Spirit, this relationship, He's perfect. He's always there. He's always faithful, always loving, doesn't get emotional, doesn't condemn. So I guess what I'm saying is He's always keeping His end of the relationship. But we can be more sensitive at certain times. And so that's why I want to give you some tips to how to be more sensitive. How many like it that the Holy Spirit doesn't give you the silent treatment? How many people like getting the silent treatment? Isn't that fun? Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't give you the silent treatment. So the first tip is know the Word. I'm not going to spend time on that. But you got to know the Word. You know, and that's first in our training. That's where it starts. You start being trained in the Word. And as you mature, then you begin to hear His voice by the Spirit of God. But the training starts with the Word. And you never stop with the Word. But again, it's a guard. It'll protect you from making, you know, getting squirrely or flaky or doing things that you think are right but are not according to the Word. Next thing you need to know about this sensitivity is the flesh will fight your obedience. The flesh. Now the Spirit is born again, but we live in this body, live in this natural world, and how many know, sometimes your body, even though you want to work out, where's Corey? He left, he's eating his steak or whatever. He's got to eat at certain times, and so he's out there eating a ribeye right now. I think I might go join them. Sounds good. Got to have meat. Okay. But, you know, you want to work out, but the flesh says, no, I want to eat a Twinkie. Or whatever. I want to watch the fifth episode of this program I've been watching all day. I don't want to work out. And so the flesh wants what it wants. The spirit wants, and so there is a conflict. But this is where I like to talk to the flesh. I like to talk to myself. And this is definitely scriptural. Just don't do it too loud while you're walking to Walmart, though. They may escort you out of the building. I mean, I don't know. But I like to talk to myself and tell myself what the Word says. And so I'll say things like this. I have the mind of Christ. I have wisdom. I know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I'm in the right place at the right time with the right people saying the right things. Now, why am I doing that? Because there's so much confusion. Sometimes we don't feel like we can hear from God. And so I'm talking to myself, and that believer is kicking in where I expect I'm going to hear from God. And so, and again, it's based on the Word. I say my steps are ordered by Him. He's got a great plan to prosper me, not a plan to harm me. He's got a successful plan. He's taken me somewhere. You know, over in John 10, I know the voice of the good shepherd. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. So I'm talking to myself, training myself, telling myself I can hear from God. And so in my Christian walk, I've had a confidence that I'm going to hear from Him. The next tip is to pray in the Spirit. One of the benefits of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to pray in tongues or to pray in the Spirit. What it is, it's a heavenly language. It's a godly language, and it's not in your known language. Like, I know a little Spanish. I know a little English. And so those are known languages. But when I pray in the Spirit, it's a heavenly language, and it my mind doesn't understand the words. It sounds like gibberish. And if you don't pray in the Spirit and you've heard others, that's what it sounds like. You don't understand it. But it's a prayer language. It's a language of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit. So He doesn't make you speak it. You work with God. You cooperate. You've got to yield to Him. And this praying in the Spirit is as you will. Now, there's gifts of the Spirit, the gift of tongues, the nine gifts of the Spirit. That's as the Spirit wills. But this is something separate. This is as you will. And it's an amazing thing because it's, you know, the Scripture says over in Romans, it says you're praying the perfect will of God. How awesome is that? I mean, you can go through your prayer list and pray certain things, but, I mean, you know, you don't have it all. But when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. And so you're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because what happens if you prayed in the Spirit for any length of time, what it'll do is it'll shut down your mind, and you'll be more sensitive to the Spirit of God and more sensitive to your spirit. Try it praying 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I prayed for an hour. I prayed longer. And there'll come a point when the voices of the world and the noise. Have you ever had that where you've got a lot of noise? And it's not all God. And it may be noises from the past. It may be old feelings. It may be condemnation. And you know that's not from God. But you got these voices. And so when I pray in the Spirit, it shuts all that down. And so my mind clears out. And so I'm in a position to hear from God. Then it says, pray in the Spirit. Then you pray with your understanding so your mind will be fruitful. So you can ask God for an interpretation of what you're praying about. You may not get it right then, but if you believe that, He says it. Pray in the Spirit, pray with your understanding. He'll give an interpretation back of the things that you're praying. That's pretty awesome. So for those that haven't experienced this, this is a part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, we'll give you opportunity to receive it at the end of the service. But you need this. You need this. And it'll help you be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I've shared this many times here. I'll share it again. I was praying years ago, praying before the service, and actually at home, maybe the night before the Sunday service, just kind of praying. And every time I'm praying in the Spirit, and it got kind of quiet, and then the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me a move to make with my 401k plan. He said, I want you to move, and for those that have 401k, you'll understand this, I want you to move all your funds from the fixed account over into the stock account. And there was no earthly reason to do it. I follow the markets and read the Wall, at that time, I don't now, but read the Wall Street Journal and followed the paper industry very closely. I was in accounting and controller, worked for this, you know, Fortune 500 company. And so, I mean, all did all the natural things. There was nothing in the natural that indicated that was a smart move to make, because I had it in the fixed account because I thought that was a smart move. So I heard this. I went to tell Susie about it. And she said, well, you just need to obey God. We've learned to, you know, talk about things. And if it had been crazy, we would have prayed more about it. But she felt that was right, witnessed with her. So that Monday, I went ahead and make the move. And little did I know, several weeks later, there was a merger of the company I worked with an international paper. And the stock shot up and made a good chunk of money. How many like making a good chunk of money? Is that a good thing? So that's a good testimony. I was sensitive that day. But I wasn't sensitive some days when I made some stupid purchases with credit cards. Hello. You probably may relate to that one a little more. So you can be sensitive and you can be insensitive. You can be sensitive in certain areas and not in others. So he wasn't leading me to make some of those decisions. They were stupid. Now, I could have taken some time. I didn't take time to pray about that. Maybe because I knew what he was going to say. So you can be sensitive. And so praying in the Spirit is a good thing. Studying the Word is a good thing. To be more sensitive to God. And then the role of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit on the inside, you're going to be... You're going to hear from Him. He's going to give you guidance. All righty? Let me read a good scripture. Well, before I say that, there's just an awareness that I have. And it's through study and through hearing the Word. I have an awareness, though, of the Holy Spirit being in me. And you have to be aware of His presence. And as you're going about your day, you have to look inward. And because He's there all the time. He's there 24/7. He's not going anywhere. But you have to decide, I'm going to look inward. You know what I'm saying? You've got to be aware. You've got to want to listen. You've got to want to hear. But let me read a great scripture. As Donald Trump says, 1 Corinthians. For those that are not aware of the news, you don't get that joke, but that's okay. It was a joke. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, New Living Translation. I was talking to my brother Pat last night, and he's reading... the first and second book of Peter, and he said, yeah, I'm reading 1 Peter. We had a good laugh over that. Okay. You need to meet my brother Pat sometime. He is a character. I need to have him come in and have him do a stand-up routine for us. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Now listen to this. Listen to this. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden. I just want you to see God's heart here. Even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would have not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. A lot of religious people will quote that to you, but you got to read the rest of the verse here. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. God's not wanting it to be a mystery for you. Oh, you never know what God's going to do. You just never know. Who can know? That's just religion. And I've got some good cuss words I could use right now, but some of the preachers. And I won't, because Kristen's being ordained and Kristen's in the room. I can't say these words. Excuse me. It's just religion. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Read the rest. But it was to us that God revealed those things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit, and no one can know what God's thought except God's own Spirit. And we have received. We have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another good way to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit is come and participate in services. Now, there's the coming, but the participating, we don't necessarily know about that part. Because being on our cell phones and texting the whole service is not participating. James, continue or stop? Blame it on him. Don't blame it on me. He's the one. Come and participate. Train yourself to be locked in and to listen. Now, I take notes, but I don't take, and I'm not against anybody that, who does this, but I don't take notes to what I could have something to preach. I take notes of what the Spirit of God is saying to me. And He may be saying something to me separate from what's being preached that day. And I have my notebook during prayer time. Why? Because I'm expecting God to speak to me by His Spirit. I expect that. And so I just want to encourage you to be in services, to come participate in the worship, in the prayer, in the giving, all the different aspects. But come engaged. Come ready to listen. Come expecting to hear. And I talked to so many after the service. I wish I could do this. I wish I could, maybe tweeting, that would be too distracting, but all the revelations you're getting, I wish they could just kind of start come up on the screen during the service. I wish we could, I'll maybe do this one time, have you all write down the revelation you're getting, that service, and hand it in at the end of the service. Because there's just so much God's doing. If we're open, He's speaking. He wants to speak. He doesn't want your life to be a mystery. He wants you to know things. He wants to show you things.